Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. When I was doing undergraduate work at Andrews University at Berrien Springs, Michigan, I had a course in philosophy of religion. The professor, Walter Straw, asked the following question. If the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, has been removed, are we not free to murder, to commit adultery, to dishonor our parents, and to lie? My answer to the question did not earn me a good grade, but it was true to the Scriptures. I pointed out that we do not have to observe the Ten Commandments to know it is wrong to commit adultery. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "It is not only wrong to commit adultery, it is wrong to think adultery." The gospel of Jesus Christ, not the law of Moses, not any of the law of Moses, is our God-ordained standard of human conduct. When Paul argued in Galatians 2:16 that men are not justified by the law of Moses, someone apparently raised an objection to his argument. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Absolutely not. Galatians 2:17. It makes no difference who is seeking to be justified by Christ, whether Jew or Gentile. All men sin and fall short of God's glory. Does that make Jesus Christ a servant of sin, that is, one who leads to sin? The whole idea is ridiculous. The gospel of Christ no more approves of sin than did the law of Moses. The Bible makes it very plain that without some standard, some authority, there could be no sin. Sin is a violation of God's law. If there were no law, there would be no sin. But Jesus Christ gave what James calls the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, or the royal law, James 2:8. Those who seek to find in the Galatian letter or elsewhere in the New Testament complete freedom from law have badly missed the point the inspired writer makes. We are not under the law of Moses. We live under the law of Jesus Christ. But living under the law, which provides greater freedom than any other ever given, does not excuse sin on anyone's part. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians the concessions we have to make in order to win as many people to Christ as possible. He says, for example, "I am become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." 1 Corinthians 9:22. He gives this illustration of his willingness to make concessions to win the lost. "To them who are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." 1 Corinthians 9:21. When Paul gave up the law of Moses, as all men must if they are going to be saved, he did not embrace lawlessness. He became subject to the gospel of Christ, the law that God has given in the new era. When he sinned, it was not because Christ was a minister of sin. It was because of the weakness of his flesh. Paul, like the other apostles, had worked to show that the law of Moses had been abrogated, nailed to the cross. Galatians 2, 14-17. So what if he went back under the law? "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Galatians 2:18. By divine revelation, Paul understood that the law was no longer binding on anyone, not on Jew or on Gentile, if he sought to be justified by the law he had worked to destroy. That would make him a transgressor. If he attempted to live under the law, he would be denying the grace we have received through Christ. Paul explained, "But I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Galatians 2:19. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.